My name's Chris Raymer. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I want to kind of pick up where Myers left off, kind of focus in a little bit on this primary purpose piece. Some of the great feedback we've had already stimulates a lot of thought. Peter's going to share a little bit after I do, and then we're going to get some questions from up here on the podium, and that ought to be interesting. So you guys, you know, you jot down some questions, or you'll do like me, and you'll forget. And I've been having senior moments since I was 35. You know, it goes in one area. I introduced myself as a recovered alcoholic today for a reason, and some of y'all were commenting on that last night. I understand the party line BS coming out of treatment is, of course, that we'll always be recovering. And I get people all the time that says, you know, to introduce yourself as a recovered alcoholic sounds pretty arrogant. You know, for a newcomer, it sounds pretty hopeful. We take a lot of shots. Alcoholics Anonymous, take a lot of shots out there because of Alcoholics Anonymous's inability or just not wanting to take responsibility for the message that's being carried out there. Early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, there were people that introduced themselves as recovered alcoholics. And I want to explain real quick what we're talking about here. I have alcoholism and I will die with alcoholism. Y'all understand it? But as a result of working the 12 steps and continued work in this business, continued carrying the message, continued prayer and meditation, fourth and fifth steps, nightly review, my disease has been placed in remission. 2 weeks after I got to this fellowship, I had a spiritual experience that changed me forever. My obsession to drink lifted between the fourth and fifth step. I'd had a completed fourth step, ready to go, ready to dump a fifth step, and the obsession to drink lifted. And that was 17 years ago. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. That's as recovered as you're going to get. I mean, I work in an industry that wants to keep us sick. I need to talk a little bit about this because I know a lot of y'all are products of treatment centers, and I'm a huge fan of treatment centers. I understand that for many of us, being physically separated from the chemical needed to be away, locked up, I see so many people that could never get sober any other way. They finally get sober that way. And so I know that there's, excuse me, some benefits from it. But the message in Alcoholics Anonymous, in the 60s and 70s, early 60s and 70s, we had a thing in this country called a certificate of need. In other words, you couldn't open a treatment center unless you could produce this certificate that said that your area needed it. Y'all follow us? And then legislature got involved and big business got involved and hospitals who were showing very slagging sales, you know, got involved. And all of a sudden, that law was repealed. And so what happened is that every Tom, Dick, and Harry that came down the pike that decided they wanted to open a treatment center could do that. And if you had a little money back in you, you could open a treatment center. Now, of course, you know, you got to come up with something new so people come to your treatment center. So we're going to move beyond Alcoholics Anonymous. And now we're going to start using lots of other therapeutic techniques and psychodrama and inner child work. And we're going to do a lot of it was good stuff. We learned a lot of stuff, cool things from that. And but we didn't get sober. I mean, it was a drag. And so there was a period of time. Some of y'all have heard me talk about this, and I think it's important. There was a period of time towards the late 70s, when you could start seeing drop-off rates in the United States in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, we can talk about this in our prefaces. We show this great, when the preface to the second edition was in 1955, we had success rate in the United States right around 75%. And after that, it began to dwindle. You with us? As a direct result of all of these other people feeding information into our fellowship. Y'all down with that? And a lot of this information was incorrect information. But we sat as a fellowship and allowed it to come into our fellowship, and it became norm that you can never recover, that you will always be recovering. You will always be sick. I'm going to tell you, trust me, they don't want you to get well. I want you to come to treatment and spend a big chunk of change. I would rather you come back to treatment four or five times than spend a big chunk of change. Y'all down with that? Insurance companies in the early 90s got sick and tired of paying for a lot of these treatments. Treatment in the 1980s, average treatment stay cost you about $30,000 to $40,000. easy. Treatment centers were, I mean, millionaires were being made daily out of the treatment center industry. Insurance companies were paying like slot machines. Insurance companies got tired of paying because they began to see that we were getting this relapse rate was unbelievable. And so they stopped paying. Almost overnight, all the treatment centers went out of business. In 1993 alone, there was over 600 treatment centers in the United States that went belly up. Tits up. Out of business. No more. Big? Was it because we didn't need the treatment centers? No, we needed every single one of them. The bottom line was, nobody could make money in treatment anymore because the people weren't getting sober. Y'all with me? So, I hear a lot of people taking shots at treatment centers. Them damn treatment centers almost ruined our fellowship. I agree. But I want to tell you this. Alcoholics Anonymous rolled over. Alcoholics Anonymous allowed it to happen. When all of us coming from treatment walked into these meetings and started talking about our inner child, we let them. When they started coming in talking about Gorski, by God, relapse prevention crap. Here's the word, folks. Triggers. We let them. Isn't that right? Yeah. And now we're paying the price. Because a lot of these people that went to those treatment centers and got sober, that weren't even alcoholics, they're sitting in meetings and they're the ones that are giving the little big book thumpers a hard time today. Because we're trying to bring the message of hope back to the newcomer. You think you've got nothing to share with a newcomer to bring them hope with a couple of weeks of sobriety under your belt? You've worked the steps and you've had this spiritual experience. Introduce yourself as a recovered alcoholic and give those people some hope. I'm going to tell you something. That's the one thing I guarantee I can soapbox longer and harder than anything else. This idea that we are all sick people. We're just sick people trying to get well. In 2 years, you'll come back into the same meeting. And we're just sick people trying to get well. When are we going to get well? What is it any wonder that we can't keep the young adults in our meetings? Who in the hell at 19 years old wants to come into a room full of people saying, I'm just powerless, powerless over people, places, and things? I want to puke. I just want to puke. I said it last night, I'll say it today. I am not powerless over people, places, and things. I am powerless over the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Y'all down with that? But I can guarantee you this, I can make some logical judgments based on an awakened spirit. Peter talked about it last night, this idea that when we have this spiritual experience, folks, it's not that all of a sudden, you know, we're going to be little sunbeams for Jesus and everything's going to change. It's that our spirit, and that may happen to you. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying our spirits awaken. Our spirits awaken to the day. You see, we awaken to the people around us and what's going on. We begin to develop an intuitive thought process whereas a person can come in the room and all we got to do is look at them and know they're in a bad spot. You know what I'm saying? Before I couldn't see that because I was so turned into myself. Myers puts it more eloquently than me, but you know, I spent most of my life, most of my adult life for sure, with my head firmly planted right up my butt. Is it a wonder? You know, I just feel like life's passing me by. It is. It is. Jeez. I mean, I got sober and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, I had this awakening and it's like, all of a sudden, look at those flowers, will you? Smell that air, you know, and it's just the little stuff. You get to see the architecture and you get to see the cool people and have friendships again. And it's like, it's a cool thing. And you start talking about this in most groups. We're laughing about it, but you go in most groups and start talking about this awakened spirit, they're going to ridicule you. Why don't we talk about what the newcomer can really understand? Hurt. I don't know. I want to get us all on the same page here because I want to mention some stuff. One of the things that the people in Alcoholics Anonymous never did for me, and I'll talk more about it this afternoon, is qualify me. To find out once and for all if I was truly an alcoholic or not. Maybe I was an addict or not, or both. You know, we need to find out. In the hospitals that I'm associated with, we really try to make sure that the newcomer knows that because I think it's important. They asked me at my first meeting, Chris, do you have problems with alcohol? Uh-huh. Welcome. You know, and I remember sitting down like I'd just been slapped. I was like, what is that? I mean, everybody has problems with alcohol, don't they? You know, and it's like, I can't... There's a difference between, as I said last night, having problems with alcohol and being an alcoholic. One is going to be problematic for a period of time, then you're going to outgrow it and go have a nice life. The other is going to be problematic for a while, and then you're going to die. I mean, it's fatal. It's progressive and chronic. And we got to help the newcomer find out what it is. Because once you have a first step experience, once you understand the physical allergy and the mental obsession and the spiritual malady that the book talks about, you're not going to have a problem finishing these steps. I talked to somebody who said, well, you know, I'm having trouble with these amends. How long have you been working on them? Oh, you know, a few years. You're not having trouble with the amends. You're having trouble with the first step. Because obviously you think you've got some power around this crap. Y'all with us? Every step that you're I love it when they come to, I'm having trouble with this God stuff. No, you're not. You're having trouble with the first step experience. You don't think you're really one of us. Do you think for a second you've got a disease that's going to kill you, right? And God is your solution, the spiritual power. And in and out, in and out. It's not about not understanding this or not understanding that. It's about you don't understand the first step. And once you have this first step experience and understand, are you really one of us? You will finish this work and do it like the book said, rapidly. This is a theme that we're going to talk about all day long. The number one mistake we make in our fellowships today, the number one thing I hear people come out of their mouth saying that kills more alcoholics than anything else is, take your time to work the steps. And we've got to stop that. Our primary purpose is to carry the message of hope to the newcomer. Our service structure is built on this idea that we have one message to carry. What's that message? Work in the 12 steps. If I got a fatal illness, why in the hell do I want to take my time to work those steps? That's a cop-out. That was treatment center crap. That's where it came from. Early days of Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I'm gonna tell you right now. Bill Wilson was 9 days in Towns Hospital, still detoxing when he had his barn-burning spiritual experience. Ebby's working him through the steps when he has his white light experience in Towns Hospital. Y'all down with that? Dr. Bob, couple of weeks, work the steps. Bill D, couple of weeks to work the steps. First guys in Alcoholics Anonymous, all of them, worked the steps within the first 30 days. They didn't even bring them to meetings, for heaven's sakes, until they had done a third step prayer because they had nothing to share. And we're sitting in meetings watching newcomers come in and sit. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Give me your little phone number. Welcome, newcomer packet. Well, you keep welcome. And they're dying. We're just spinning our wheels with these guys, you know. We need to be grabbing them by the neck and jerking them. Buddy, you got a sponsor? You ready to work these steps? Let's qualify you. Let's get you to business. Because we got to get you to God. We got to get you to God quick. Because I can't fix what's wrong with you. Treatment centers made us believe that people around us could help us. The book says self-knowledge availed us nothing. Isn't that what it says? If knowledge would fix us, why do I have a hospital down there in Kerrville with 100 patients in there, most of them with multiple degrees in their pocket? Why do we treat so many clergymen? Why do we treat so many doctors and psychiatrists? These are all intelligent people because self-knowledge avails them nothing. Knowing about this disease is not going to fix you. How are you going to learn about sex? You going to go do it or are you going to go read a book? I spent more years than I care to think about reading books. Finally, early on, I guess I was about 18, pushing 19 years old, some little pantry girl up at the end of the hills had mercy on me and bless her. Bless every woman that ever had pity on some schmuck. Okay, here. Page 62. Turn to it real quick. If you got your books, some of you don't have this marked. The book says that I don't have a choice whether I'm going to drink or not, folks. And we go into treatment and they spend 30 days trying to explain to us how alcohol and drugs are our problem. You down with that? Page 62, it says, selfish and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes and they retaliate, sometimes without provocation, seemingly without provocation. But we invariably find that at some time in our past, we've made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. You with us? They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Selfish and self-centeredness, ! That, we think, is the root of our troubles. Guys, I'm around AA for 7 years, and nobody read that to me. They said alcohol is the trouble. We're going to show you some tricks to stay away from the alcohol so you can stay sober. Avoid your triggers. You with us? I had a guy this week come in and says, I go to this same beer joint every day after work. You know what the solution was? Go home a different way. Oh, damn, why didn't I think of that? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think it's good stuff to teach early in sobriety. These are all tricks that will help you stay sober. That's great. But if you're depending on these little tricks, these little parlor games to keep you sober the rest of your life, you're going to die. Guys, my deal with you guys is what doesn't trigger me? No, really. My buddy Eddie out in San Diego, you know, he says, Chris, I finally come up with the perfect trigger, the all-inclusive trigger. It's called consciousness. Because isn't it the truth? When didn't I drink? What doesn't remind me of dope? This is ridiculous. The only thing that's going to save me is to get taken to a place where the obsession to drink, the desire to drink, is removed. And I'm around AA for 7 years, and I don't think that'll ever happen. I'm not even looking for that because I think it's absurd because everybody keeps trying to teach me tricks to just stay away from it. And that's why in 1987, it was suicide time for me. It was time to take a bottle of pills because I didn't think there was anything that's going to ever work. I don't seem to have the willpower that you people have. I see y'all staying sober, but I can't do it. I didn't understand that those people were actually working the 12 steps and doing some work. And the miracle was taking place in them. See, the primary purpose that was supposed to be shared with me for 7 years in Alcoholics Anonymous was never shared. And I got to tell you, these tapes, these CDs, they travel around the country and people hear this. And that statement I just made pisses people off every time. Everybody wants to put the responsibility back on the newcomer. Well, he just didn't want it. He just wasn't ready. Guys, that may be true in some instances. I'm going to tell you, but I mean, I remember the times that I came into Alcoholics Anonymous in the early 80s and really wanted to stay sober, really needed to stay sober. But I couldn't do it because we were so busy sitting in these meetings talking about every other thing in the world except our primary purpose, except the steps. We talk about the problems until the cows come home. This afternoon, when I get a shot at you, we're going to spend some time talking about this pissing and moaning stuff. We're going to spend some time talking about these war story stuff. It's going to be my little love hour. Right after lunch. I'm with you. John, you know, and it's like there's so many of us in this room that are on the same page. But we walk out there and everybody wants to take shots at us. So I'm just here to say, I was talking to somebody, and I'll shut up and get down and let Peter share with you a minute. One of the things that my sponsor taught me early on is that I don't have to defend the big book. And a lot of you guys, again, you think this is a battle out there in our rooms, and I know it seems like that. But you guys are carrying the message of hope. You're carrying the clear message out of the book. Our tradition that Myers read this morning that we just talked about, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. That's our primary purpose. The message is not what you can do with your babysitter or what you can do with your divorce or what you need to do with your 401k. I don't know. I don't know. But it is not that other stuff. Those are all outside issues. The book does not need to be defended. It is crystal clear. We have our marching orders. Whether you have the responsibility to follow those orders is beside the point. If you want to, great. If you don't want to, that's fine too. Go away. That's cool. Nobody's feelings are going to be hurt. Alcoholics Anonymous is not the only way to get sober. There are people getting sober every day. One way or another, I don't know. I tried colonics one time. I got real regular for a while. But I kept drinking. You know what I'm saying? The easier, softer way for me was the 12 steps. Here, Peter, go.